please visit our website at www.ymsite.com. That's www.ymsite.com to learn more about our organization, Young Muslims, and its activities. For a complete listing of our products, please visit our online store at www.ymsite.biz. That's www.ymsite.biz.
I welcome you all tonight to the monthly YM New Jersey program. The youth group of MCMC is part of a national organization known as Young Muslims. And inshallah, we'll have a presentation later on Young Muslims, but just to introduce our speaker tonight, Sheikh Ibrahim Najm is a Hafiz of Al-Quran. He graduated number 4 in the nation from Al-Azhar High School in Egypt. He finished his Ijazah in Islamic Studies from Al-Azhar in 1995 as the class valedictorian. He was a visiting scholar and researcher at Harvard Law School in 1996. He was a visiting researcher at the School of Islamic and Social Sciences in 1997. He has a PhD in Comparative Religious Studies from the American College of Theology. He is currently the Imam and Director of the Islamic Center of South Shore, Long Island, New York. He is Assistant Professor of Arabic and Islamic Studies at St. John's University in Queens, and he is the editor of the Mirror International, a worldwide red newspaper. So inshallah, Sheikh Najm will talk on the topic of the passion of the youth. Sheikh.
إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعين به ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم ارض عن سادتنا أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن تابعيهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أقول زورا أو أغشى فجورا أو أقول قولا بغير علم أو أكون بك ربي مغرورا ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'm very sorry for the delay. I was telling Brother Azim that I had a bad experience in the past where I was invited to a program in New Jersey, in Central Jersey here, not in this masjid, in another masjid. And I was stuck in traffic, and by the time I reached the program, it was over. So I just had the time to say salam to the brothers, and we head back to New York. So I was making dua in the car that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach there in time so that we can at least see the brothers here, the young guys here, and say salam to them and share something with them. I'm aware that we are running short of time, and inshallah I'll try to make the presentation short and to the point. First of all, young guys and elders, I'd like to start with a verse in the Quran, one ayah of the Quran that puts the topic into perspective for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن ضُعْفٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدُ ضُعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعفا وشيبة يخلق ما يشاء وهو العليم القدير. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created you, meaning us, from weakness. And then He appointed from the weakness strength. And then He appointed from the strength weakness again. It is He who creates whatever He wills out of knowledge and out of power. This ayah highlights the cycle of human life. When our mothers give birth to us, we were helpless babies, and we were completely dependent on our parents for anything in life. And this dependency lasts for a long time. Compare that and contrast that with like little chicken. When the egg hatches, in few minutes you see the baby chicken walking and eating. In few minutes. And also the same applies with like cows and other animals. But it is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made us dependent for a long time. It is a cycle of life. And this dependency grows into a state of independence and a state of strength, which is characterized by this span of time, which is called the youth. And then, for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes live through, according to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرِ, the lowest state of human life, which is old age. The strength is reverted and reversed into a state of weakness again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this verse by reminding us that He does that not haphazardly, He does that out of knowledge and out of power. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks distinctively about the youth as the peak of human life. And humans feel at their peak intellectually and physically during the youthful time. And we know that the criteria of success or failure of any community depends primarily on you guys, on the young people. And this applies also with the Muslim community. I'm just going to give you a historical example that we were not aware of. We know that the Muslims, they were present in Spain for about 800 years. And the first part of their presence was marvelous. They did a lot of contributions there. They were not parasites on the people, they were pioneers. And they did a lot of good things there. And the enemies of Islam, they were trying to hunt for this moment to kick the Muslims out of Spain. You know what the criteria they were looking for? The criteria they were looking for to give them a signal that this is the right time to kick the Muslims out was the behavior of young people like yourself. They used to send people to see how the young people are behaving. And in one particular incident, they sent people to look how the young people are doing. And they found most of them in colleges, they are serious, they are settled in families, and their thinking is straight. And they used to report back telling them that this is not the right time to kick the Muslims out of Spain. But later on, when morality declined and the young people fell into so many distractions, and one informer, he met a young man who was crying terribly, and he was dating a girl, but she was messing up with another boy, and he returned back to his masters and telling them that this is the right time to kick the Muslims out because the young people are completely lost. So in the life of nations, the criteria of strength and weakness depends primarily on the young people. And also throughout history, this is not, doesn't only apply to Muslim history, to world history at large, we see that the major revolutionary movements, who bore the burden of these movements into success? It is young people. And if we look at the communist philosophy, it is the same thing. But of course, When it comes to our deen, the deen of truth, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see the youth has been having a very distinctive status, and this is what I'm going to elaborate on. But first of all, when we talk about young people, when we talk about youth, this does not in any way diminish the role of elders. In Islamic conception, in our deen of Al-Islam, each member of the society has his or her own role to play. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the famous hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهِ. Every one of you is a caretaker, and he is bound to take care of his or her own subjects. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. That he is not from among us the one who shows mercy to the youngsters and who shows respect to the elders. So each member of the Muslim community has his or her own role to play. But why we are talking about youth? We are talking about youth basically because we have a hope, inshallah, in our youngsters to help in the promotion of Islam in this country and to help on the overall crises that the Muslim Ummah are going through. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always wanted to make the young people feel that they are responsible. Always, whenever he got a chance, he used to tell the young people that you are responsible. So this age that the young people are going through, it is not just a privilege, it is a responsibility. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take advantage of five things before other five things are going to come. You know, the first thing he listed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, اغتنم شبابك قبل هرمك. Take advantage of your youth before the old age comes. And وصحتك قبل سقمك. And your health before you fall sick. وغناك قبل فقرك. And your being rich before you fall into poverty. وحياتك قبل موتك. And your life before your death. وفراغك قبل شغلك. And your free time before you get occupied. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distinctively is telling us that this time, this young age, is a responsibility, and we are going to be questioned about how did we spend our youth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith, سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. That there are seven categories of people that who will be given the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, a day in which there will be no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of these seven categories of people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, وَشَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. And a young man or a young girl who have been reared and raised in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a significant parameter again of the health, of the healthy ummah. When we see the youngsters, when we see the young people are filling the masajid, that's when we say that the ummah is still in good shape. But when we go to the masajid and see just the elders, the old people, then where are our young people? We know also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about a famous story in Surah Al-Kahf. And this is the story of a bunch of young people who got together They tried to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They shared the message with the people and they went to a retreat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would like you to think a little bit about this. Of course, we are advised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. And this is for a reason, because Surah Al-Kahf is a very interesting surah. It gives us so many encounters and so many lessons. And one of them, of course, the first of these lessons is about this bunch of young people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised in Surah Al-Kahf by saying, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They are a group of young people who believed, really believed in their Lord. What did these young people establish and what is the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us in this surah? The message really, when we try to do something good, we should not be deluded that this doing something good is just will go to waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is assuring us that whatever good we do, especially when we are young, it is going to bear fruits. But for it to bear fruits, it does not necessarily have to be, you know, I have to be alive to see the fruits of my action. And this is the lesson actually we get from this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to sleep for about 300 years. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them wake up again. Why? To see the fruits of their action. Because of their dedication, because of their devotion, and because of their unity in struggling for the path of truth, the whole town turned to be true worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their legacy was shared by the people. And because they were inspired by them, because they were inspired by their dedication and devotion, the whole town turned to be worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them, extended their life through His permission and wisdom to make them see the actual fruits of their action. This is something profound. And I'm saying this for the young people, that don't belittle anything you do for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for sure going to bear fruits, but it is not necessary that I have to be there to witness these fruits. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another example of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, the young man who faced actually the most difficult of trials. Since he was an innocent boy till he got the highest of offices, his life, if we want to summarize it and sum it up in one word, it is a life full of tribulations and trials. But nonetheless, he was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him through each and every step of tribulations in his life until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with him. Now, how Islam really empowers youth? We see when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started calling the people to Islam, since he received this revelation to convey the message of Islam. And days passed and we see who responded to the message of Islam. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and others, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab later on, Sayyidina Bilal, Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and the elder person who accepted the message was Sayyidina Abi Bakr. And the Sahaba used to call Sayyidina Abu Bakr as a Shaykh. And how old Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when he accepted Islam? He was 36 years old. And the rest, all of them, with no exception, were young people. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contracted this two pledges of Al-Aqaba, which resulted in sending an envoy on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Yathrib, which became later on known as Medina. Who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to be sent as his envoy to teach the people Islam? Who? Mus'ab ibn Umair. How old was he? 18 years old. 18 years old. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on when he was fighting the Jews in the battle of Khaybar, he promised the Muslims to give the banner of the leadership of the army to a man whom he loves Allah and his messenger, and Allah and his messenger love him. And all the Muslims were anxious to be given this honor. And among them was Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, and other great elders of the Sahaba. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. He was 28 years old at this time. And right before his death, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that an army to be dispatched headed by Usama ibn Zayd. And he was 16 years old. And through little situations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to raise dignified young people. And I'm going to mention one little story, and we should read into the story. We should not just, you know, pass by it. We should read into the story. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting among the Sahaba, elders of the Sahaba, and a little boy was sitting next to him. And a drink was presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he wanted to share this drink with other Sahabas. But before doing that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the permission of this little boy if he could give permission for the other next Sahabi sitting next to him to drink water. Now, I can assure you that if me or any elder is in the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it won't really matter. If somebody is thirsty, we'll just go ahead and give him the water without paying so much attention to this little boy. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the permission of this little boy if he could give permission to pass the water to the person next, sitting next to him. And why would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that? Because he wanted to instill dignity and honor among the young people. Also, throughout the Islamic history, there are marvelous examples for young people who rose and they did marvelous things for Islam. I'll just choose one person for the sake of time. Muhammad al-Fatih, who is known as Mehmet the Conqueror, who opened Constantinople. Now, let me get to the core of the topic today, and this shall be my conclusion. When we say the youth is our future, do we doubt it? No, we don't doubt it. Yes, of course, undoubtedly, the youth is our future. But we have heard this often. I'm not the first person to reiterate this, but We hear it too often, nonetheless we don't do anything about it, whether individually or collectively. And when we speak about the challenges that are facing our youngsters in this part of the world, they are indeed enormous. Enormous challenges that the young people are facing. The first is the distractions and temptations, which are attacking them from every corner. And the second is, of course, the unfavorable picture of Islam in this part of the world, which makes some very ashamed of being Muslims. Also, we have to understand that in this age and in this part of the world, there is a trivialization of religion and ethics and morality. And if you want to be a modernized man, you have to forego religion forever. And you have to go along with gay marriages. There is also a generation gap. I don't like to use the word generation gap, but there is a lack of proper communication between them and their parents. Also, the famous problem of the battle over identity. Who are we? And, of course, the difficulty of the young people, and I'm speaking, you know, I'm not that old, I'm 28, by the way. The difficulty in the young people, they have such a big difficulty in going to the masajid and programs and khutab. They have difficulty in understanding the terms and the language of Islam. They feel sometimes that they cannot connect the things. And also, they feel that the global ummah is in crisis. And because of their energies and because of their emotions, they want to do something. But what is it? Some of them are confused about what is it to be done to help the cause of the Muslim Ummah. Now the question is, how we as Muslim communities are going to respond to these enormous challenges. The first step, I believe, is that we have to realize our responsibilities, and I'm talking about our elders. Because taking a passive step or not taking any step whatsoever is not going to be beneficial at all, because if we actually don't take an initiative will be taken against us and we will end up losing a substantial number of our youngsters. The second thing, and this is just some ideas, I believe that each and every masjid and every Islamic center should sit together, especially the executive board, and plan short and long-term programs for our youth. This has to be part and parcel, an integral part of the function of every masjid, which is to involve youth and to have programs catered for them in a language and in idioms that they can relate to and they can understand. The third will be starting educational institutions. And sometimes duplication of educational institutions is a healthy thing. You may say that there's something in New York. Why not start something right here? And we have to take make use of the technology in which I know that the youngsters are much better equipped than all of us. I'm talking about the elders in terms of technology. We have to take advantage of that. Let me just conclude, and I know that this is the time, 8:10. One statement I thought about in the car, and I would like to share it with you. With Islam, youth are going to be something. But without Islam, they are going to be nothing. With Islam, they are going to be something, but without Islam, they are going to be nothing. And we hope that they carry their Islam not only in their hands, but in their hearts. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Please visit our website at www.ymsite.com. That's www.ymsite.com to learn more about our organization, Young Muslims, and its activities. For a complete listing of our products, please visit our online store at www.ymsite.biz. That's www.ymsite.biz.